Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Am I not on?
No.
It sounds like I'm on. Can you hear me? Now it sounds better.
You know what? It's funny because I'm up here talking, and you guys say you can't hear me, and I hear myself just fine. come on now, guys. Maybe you need hearing aids or something, you know? Anyway. And then I'm going to go to, actually, Acts chapter 17 and 16. But Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for just being so faithful and good to me. And Holy Spirit, speak through me this morning in the mighty name of?
Jesus.
Of who?
Jesus.
Amen. Sound like a church there. Luke 17:20 says this: Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied. Who replied?
Jesus.
Who? Okay, now listen to this one more time, because there's so much richness in this that if you just speed through it and you miss stuff, right? Like this isn't just speed reading, right? So we study for depth, but we can read for breadth, right? But I just don't want to get breadth. I mean, I want breath, but not, you know what I mean? But I want to get depth. I want to know him and know more about him. And the way I do that is through where?
Scriptures.
The scriptures, right? Because the Bible says that Jesus is the Word. He's the living Word. And so we find him through what? Through the scriptures, right? So here Jesus is saying, or God's saying, once having been asked, having been what?
Asked.
I couldn't hear you guys. He was what?
Asked.
By the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied. So they're asking Jesus a question, and he's giving them an answer. How many know sometimes we don't always get the answer we want? Right? Don't always like, hey, I got a question for you, but do you really want the answer, right? Are you going there? And I think in this world, we seek answers. Like we want answers, and we want to make statements more than we want to ask questions and find out what's really going on with people and in their lives and what's going on around them, rather than saying, wait, okay, I know this is going on, but how are you really doing? What's really going on in your life? What are you really believing? Like they might disagree with you in how they believe. It's like, okay, you know, why do you believe that way? What makes you believe that way? What's going on in your mind and in your heart? And we live in an area where there's like some people say 94, some people say 96% of the people don't want nothing to do with any kind of religion. And I don't want nothing to do with the religion either. But I want something to do with Jesus. But we've got to learn how to have a dialogue with people that don't see everything just the way we see things. And too much of the time we get to where we're trying to preach at people and make statements rather than come and say, hey, how are you doing? Like honestly coming and saying, how are you doing? What's going on in your life? What is making you tick? What's going on? And people, when they know they love you and they know you care, then they will start asking you questions. And that's kind of the way it goes. When I was associate pastor years ago, and this guy come to church, and the senior pastor hated him, because he was opinionated, and he was a cool dude. So he'd go, hey, can I have a cup of coffee with you, and I'll talk to you? And the pastor said, James, you go do it. And I was like, okay. So I went and talked to him. And I was like, hey, what's going on? And he was so anti-religion, but he was so far for, he was so much for God that there was some stuff that he had said. I was like, bud, you're way out there, man. Why do you believe this? What makes you tick and what you believe that? And he'd tell me. And he's like, do you believe me now? And I was like, no. I really don't agree with you. But I was like, thank you for sharing, because now I know where you're at. And I was like, you know what? I love you just like you are. I was like, keep coming. Keep sharing. So I started meeting and talking with him, and I love the man. In fact, after we left being associate pastors, a year later, we took a year off, and then we started another church, and we were going there for about 4 months, and all of a sudden, he pops up in the door. Like, hey, can I start coming to your church? And I was like, oh, we're trying to keep you over at the other church. Like, I'm not trying to take you here. It's like, and plus, I was like, I'm going to have to go to coffee with this dude again, right? And you know what? He ended up plugging in. He ended up playing on our worship team. And then after he finally got mad at me because I wouldn't go with him in what he believed, right? And left and went to another church. And when he got to the other church, it hit. Click. Boom. Oh, I get it. And he ended up being an elder and preaching and coming around. But if we hadn't taken that time to say, you know what? Your opinions matter. What you believe matters. Why do you believe what you believe? And why is that going on in your life? And literally, like, hear people out. Like, you're not going to fall apart, right? You hear a question that, like they might not believe exactly like you believe. If you have any depth in you at all, you're going to be just fine. But engage people. Even people you don't agree with. And learn to listen. And then speak as the Holy Spirit lets it out. Now Jesus here, the Pharisees were coming to him. And like of all the people in the world, they were the ones that was the biggest pain in his tush. Like you see it. And in Paul's and in the disciples. Of all the people. It wasn't the sinners, right? Remember, they said John, he came and he was strict, you know, and you accused him of being, you know, too strict. And then Jesus comes along and then you're calling him a friend of drunks and sinners, right? So there was no winning either way you went. And sometimes there's no winning either way you go in life. You just got to trust God. Be true to what God has called you. Be true to what he has placed in your heart. And live it out. And don't be afraid of the voices that don't necessarily echo or agree with you completely. Because you've got a 96% chance up here talking to someone that they don't even know this much of what you know about who Jesus is and who he says he is in the scripture. And if we have any hope of sharing how good God is, it's only going to be through loving people. And being willing to communicate with them. That's what we see with Jesus. He's open to these people. He's like, ask me a question, right? Ask me a question. He's like, I am the answer. Like, Jesus didn't have the answer. He is the answer. And when we see that, we see everything come to life, right? And so it says, once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. See, they had it down to where they thought that they could keep the law to the nth degree. But they had to have loopholes, right? And they had loopholes after loopholes after loopholes. And so really what they were doing is they were so legalistic that they thought that if I can keep the law, then this is going to work out. And the scripture clearly says that we are saved by grace through faith, lest any man boast. What's he saying? It's not anything to do with you. You did not earn your salvation in any way, any shape, any form, and you cannot earn your salvation. It is a gift from God that he gave before the foundations of the earth he planted. The Bible says, for God so hated the world, he was so mad at the world, for God, what? He so loved the world that he gave what?
His
His only Son, that whosoever, what? Does everything right? Observes carefully? Does what?
Believes?
Shall not perish, but have what?
Everlasting life.
So what is the thing that you need to do to access what he's already done?
Believe.
That's it. And you know what? When you believe, it changes your heart. And then you have a change of your heart and a change of your mind. And in the scripture, Jeremiah in the Old Testament said you don't need anyone, a teacher saying, go here, go here, or do this or do that. Right? He says he'll write his word in our hearts and put it in our minds, and we'll just automatically do it. Why? Because he's getting ready to tell us why. Because he's saying right here, and he's answering them, it doesn't come with observation, nor will people say, hey, it's here, it's over here. Like I grew up where people say, oh, there's a revival over here, and God's moving over here, and I can really feel his presence over here. And so people would chase over here, and then 3 weeks later, they're chasing him over here, then over here, then over here. And then they're getting so tired of running after him that they finally say, you know, I just ain't going nowhere. Because he's either here. Or if his presence is everywhere, his presence is where?
Within us.
In us. Within us. It's right here. So that means that he is in me. He says that he doesn't dwell just in tents and in tabernacles, but we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That means wherever we step, God's stepping with us. Wherever we step, the presence of God is right there to change people's situation. Believe it or not, when I ran from God, he was right there. He'd tick me off. I'd be like, dude, you're supposed to go over hang with my mom and dad. Like he's a preacher, or my grandpa and grandma, or you're supposed to be in that church. They're going to be missing you. I got things to do out here, and I don't want you to see what I'm doing. You know what? All I felt was his love and his peace and his goodness, and he loved me back to life. And it's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. It says in John 3, right? I don't remember if it's 15 or 17, but it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what? God's like, oh man, I didn't know he was going to do that, or I wouldn't have got on this cross. I mean, I can't believe James, like, not him, not that. I ain't dying for that. God's like, hey, Jesus, let's just skip that one. That one's too rotten. No, he didn't. He paid for sin, right? You still are going to struggle with sins sometimes because sin's missing the mark, but it's that one big sin that Jesus died for, which is the sin of what? Unbelief. Because either way it goes, like you're either dependent on, oh, I hope there's a God out there. I had a friend that came to me at a Bible study one time. I didn't know him at the time, and he used to be an atheist, but at this Bible study, he graduated to an agnostic. So that was good, right?
Yeah.
So I walk in. Basically, an atheist doesn't believe there's anything. An agnostic believes there's something, and everybody's just okay. Right? And so here he comes to me, and he's like, James, he said, God told me to put you in a round pen. I'm like, you know that's for horses, right, buddy? He's like, yeah, because I don't mean literally. He's like, but there's something I want to learn from you. He goes, I don't know what it is. He goes, I believe there's something, but I don't know what it is. But he goes, if you would just take the time to talk to me about it. And I did, and I broke it down. And you know what? He was the most legalistic person. His dad was a straight-up atheist, and he was the most legalistic person I ever met or ever heard of, right? Because you're legalistic in the fact that you believe this, and there's no other like open-mindedness to hear any other opinion. You know, he ended up getting saved. He called me one day, and I had meet with him, and he was losing his house, and actually he was renting a house, and the people were getting foreclosed on. He's like, I only got so many days to get out of here. He goes, I don't have no place to go. I don't have any money. He goes, my life's over. So he says, I'm just going to jump off my roof. And it ticked me off when he said that. I said, what'd you say? He said, I'm going to jump off my roof and kill myself. And I said, knock yourself out. I said, go ahead. He said, but don't you call me again if you do that. Like he could. And I hung up on him. So I called my sister. Both of my sisters are therapists, and I think they had to become therapists from dealing with me growing up, right? And my other sister probably needs a therapist from growing up with me, right? And so I called her. I was like, hey, I think I just killed a guy. And she says, what? And I told her what happened. She goes, ah, that's good. That's perfect. I was like, whew. So he calls me back. I was like, are you there? Are you here still? And he goes, yeah. He goes, oh, I didn't kill myself. And I was like, well, what's the first clue? Right? And he says, why'd you say that? And I was like, because your roof's like 8 feet tall. You're just going to break your leg, dude. And then you're going to be without a house. You're going to have a broken leg or a broken arm, and then you're not going to be able to work or do anything for it. I said, that's stupid, dude. And I said, how about you write? So I told him, I said, I want you to, do you have lipstick? And he was a single guy, and he goes, no, which would have scared me if he'd have said yes, right? He said, no, I don't have any lipstick. And I was like, okay. I was like, go buy some lipstick. And he goes, what? I said, and I want you to go into your mirror, and I want you to write down, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because he believed he had no hope and that God didn't love him. And I said, I want you to read that 3 times a day, because it's the power of God's word, and it's the power of knowing who we are in him that changes our life. So he did. So he writes it down. 3 days later, he calls me. You ain't going to believe this. I was like, try me. He's like, the bank come by, and they said that it takes forever to get tenants out when they're repossessing houses. And they said if I would get out in 30 days, they would give me $12,000. And I was like, wish I could get out of my house. I was in a mirror. I was like, awesome. Thank you, Jesus. So he took $5,000 of that, and someone had a business that was coming and cleaning out these as he was leaving, and they're like, man, we're broke, but we've got this business taken off, and we need funds and don't have no funds, and we're looking for a partner. And the guy's like, well, how much do you need? And they said $5,000, and he's like, I got $5,000. You know what he did? He bought into that business. He went from no hope, no place to live, to having cash, extra cash, a business, and it ended up booming, and he ended up moving to Oregon and buying a farm like 2 years later. Why? He also ended up leading his dad, who was an atheist, to Jesus before he died. Why? Because it was about his identity. It was about who he was. It wasn't about the lies that the enemy had told him, right? So here, Jesus is saying, it doesn't come with observation, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in heaven, and someday we're going to die, and we're going to get to see him face to face, and then we'll get to see him with these very eyes, even though these eyes will be closed. It's not what it says? Not even close. You know what? One day I hope I get to go to heaven. If I've done everything right, I've crossed all my T's and dotted all my I's, and I have lived my life for the Lord, I. It doesn't say that either. Then say, hey, let's go to the next great revival because that's only where the presence of God is. Am I saying the presence of God isn't there? No, it is because he's in all things. I went to a Jewish camp one time because one of my friends was on the board and I walked up and they're not believing as in Jesus believing. They are, by the way, Jews are believing in the Messiah who just happens to be our Jesus, right? And one day the Bible says all Israel will be saved, right? So I'm thinking, oh, this is going to suck. And I walk up there, and they're playing, and they're dancing, and they're singing, and I could feel the same Holy Spirit there that I could feel right here. And I was like, what are you doing here? See, God honors covenant. God honors his people. You can't get away from him. I tried. He will outrun you and overtake you with his love and his peace. There's this dude. He's a famous preacher and people quote him all the time. His name was Jonathan Edwards. Anybody ever hear of him? And he used to preach so hell, so hot that people would get up and scream and run to the altar. But you know what? He'd have these big revivals where people would flock for miles and miles and just scream and cry and run down there. Then 2 weeks later, they're back to their same old life. You know why? Because it tickles the flesh. It makes you go off of condemnation, and there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It puts it back on you and then uses shame and guilt. And that's not of God. That shame and guilt, I used to be the worst of them. Worst legalist on the planet, man. And you know what was weird? God's grace was still flowing on me. And his love and his presence. And when I was running from him and didn't even hardly believe in him, I believed he is real, but I didn't believe he wanted to do anything with me. His presence was so there with me. I've never been able to shake him, man. Because he's that good. And he's that faithful. And that legalism was just as much a sin as the other stuff. Because I was missing the very grace of God. And I was stumbling other people. And that's really sad. Nor will it say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God's where? Within me. So there's this dude in the Bible, his name's Paul. Anyone ever hear of Paul? Okay. It says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him, saying, some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. They took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopag, or its assembly is basically what it means, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting, and you are bringing some strange ideals to our ears, and we want to know what they mean. Do you know what they're doing? They're asking questions. And Paul said, nah, you don't believe like me, so I ain't even going to come. All of the Athenians and foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideals. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the assembly and said, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. In every way. They were what? They were religious. And you know what? Paul at one time was so religious, God literally had to knock him off his high horse. I don't know if it was a high horse or a short horse, but it was a horse. He was literally blinded by the light. right? And now he's like, I know you're very religious because I was very religious. He says, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription. Do you know what altars were used for back then? Remember, like, we used to have altars down front where we'd come and pray? That's not what that altar was. You know what that altar was for? It was for sacrifice. And he says, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. See, even when you don't think there's a place for God in your life, he's already making a place. Even before you believe, he's already working in your life. He loves you so much. He's like, just come to me. I know it's heavy. I know it's hard. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you a list of things to do at church. No. He says, I'll what? I'll give you rest, right? And he said, now what you worship is something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. As if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. You know what he's telling them? You're not a coincidence. This is not just a mishap that I showed up here. God loves you so much. He's wanting to reveal himself to you, saying, I am not wanting to remain unknown to you, but I don't just want you to know about me or hear about me, but I want you to know me. What are you saying? From one man he made every nation of men, and they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that man would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. We're in him. In who? In him we live and move and have our doings. Did I read that wrong? Beans? Is it beans? No, that's too good a news. Like, that's over-exaggerating the grace, right? No, it's exactly what it says. For in him, this is my favorite verse in the entire scripture. For in him, for what? In him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill, when we are made in the image and the design and the likeness of God himself. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. You know what? When you believe that you have to work to gain God's goodness and blessings and salvation, that's just as ignorant, because you're not worshiping any other idol except the one you're looking at in the mirror. Like, that's tough preaching, but it's the truth. Somebody's got to say that, or we're not going to get free. We're not going to get free. We're not going to walk in our freedom. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Now you're like, oh, there it is. Like, I used to think repent meant I had to, like, make myself cry. Right? Everyone's crying at church. Everyone's giving their heart to Jesus, and I didn't have to feel it, man. So I went to my dad, I was like, can you spank me? He's like, why would I spank you? Because if I cry, then I'll feel bad, and then I can go get saved. And my dad's like, son, it don't work like that. Right? We think we got to get beat up and feel that. But it's that goodness. It's that conviction of I've got something more in me. It's a changing of the mind. Actually, in the Greek, it's this. Let me get to it. Because it's too good. That's not it. Let me go back to the other place. Where am I at? It's in my notes. It's metanoia is what it is. Meta means above or beyond. Noia means to change your mind or to change your heart. That's what repentance is. It means that it's above. God's able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, including saving us to the very core of our soul. Saving everything in our life. Repentant means I'm just turning away. I'm just surrendering my life completely to the fact that there is a finished work that has already been paid for me, and I come into agreement with it. And I submit my life to it. Not I say a magic prayer, walk down the front, because I feel bad. Now, you may feel bad when you come to Jesus, and that's okay. They don't stop there. Sometimes we're trying to buy fire insurance instead of surrendering our life. I bought a bunch of fire insurance in my life. You know what it does? It just makes me chase it more and more and more and more. I wrote some notes, and I'm going to read it real quick. I can't ever get to everything I want to read. Stuff I wanted to bring from last week I can't get to. But God's in control, not me. So back from Luke chapter 17, 21, trapped by a question is what I would call that. They were trapped. The Pharisees were trapped by a question. They thought they had the answers, but they were talking to the answer. They thought they were talking about the kingdom of God. They were talking to the kingdom of God. We don't ask questions, we make statements most of the time. A question is the seed of curiosity. It is when the mind knocks and it hopes truth answers the door. As a Jew, we like to ask questions. We're taught to ask questions. Even at Passover coming up here next Saturday, guess what they're going to do? They're going to have at least four questions, I can guarantee you. Why? Because until you really seek and ask questions, you don't find the answer. Because until then, you're just saying what you believe. And you already know it all. A question is a seed of curiosity. It's when the mind knocks and it hopes truth answers the door. Every question is a compass in disguise that can either lead you to your calling or lead you to confusion. See, but the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear or confusion or doubt, but of what? Power, love, and what? A sound mind. And the destination associated with your question is connected to the level of how deep you can think about what to ask. It's not how deeply I can study, but what level can you dig deep enough to ask the text to give you an answer? Are you just studying and wanting to see the same old thing? Like, I study, I want to, like, Father, show me, open my eyes. I want to see you because this is you, this is your word, this is your way. Open my eyes. And you know what? This is endless. Like, I'm always growing. I'm always learning. Like, I can tell you, the more I read, the less I know. It's like horses. I learned that from horses. Right? And the fact is, I'm smarter than I've ever been, but I'll never be this dumb again. As long as I what? I keep learning. I keep growing. I keep allowing God to do something. I keep digging Not seeking for knowledge, but seeking for Him. I want to know Him and the hope of His calling. I want to desire Him. And this is where I find Him, because faith comes by what? Hearing. I didn't pick this way, right? If you don't like me preaching, it's His fault. He chose. You're like, this is foolishness. And God's like, yes, it is foolishness. I even called it foolishness. And James is good at being foolishness. That's why I called him to preach. So that's why you're stuck with me right now.
Amen.
Amen. That is not all the stuff I preach today. And that's what I get an amen for. Sweet Jesus. What level can you dig deep enough to ask the text to give you an answer? Because if you go to the Bible, and know it all, you leave with nothing. Because the scripture is begging you. It's begging you to ask it what? What really matters? What's really important? Not what you think. Not what some great commentator said. I love John MacArthur, but John MacArthur's not God. I think he's called and appointed to do all that stuff he does, but he's not God. I love a lot of the Jewish sages I think there's a lot of wisdom in some of the stuff they say, but they're not God. I don't want to hear and just look for my own opinions. I want to see God open His Word to me in truth and life. And then I'm not hearing my voice or the voice of others, but I'm hearing, thus saith the Lord. Amen. That's where life is. That's where peace is. That's where hope is. You're out there and you don't know Jesus. It's not because He don't know you. He's an unknown God to you right now. But you're not an accident. He's known you from the foundations of the world, and He's got a plan for you. All you got to do is just surrender and say, I give you my life, Lord. I believe it. Help my unbelief. And I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.